Great to see. What a wonderful day. Are you enjoying today? Yes. The first three rows here said yes. And it was like, yes. Are you enjoying today?
Yes.
That was good. Easter is that moment in the life of the church where we recognize that Christ defeated death. And he alone is a life-giving Lord. He was victorious over death in order to give us, his followers, life. I love it. That's why I stand to preach. That's why I come here. It's why I believe. Because of Jesus. How many of you have ever read cartoons? Put up this BC cartoon. Look at this. I love this one. Dad, what does the decorated Easter egg represent? A very festive omelet. That's good. We just had that this morning. So you're telling me this guy died just so we could all be forgiven the bad stuff we do? Yep. This is under Easter mascots, by the way. Then he pops back to life on this day and ascends to some magical place in the sky, give or take. And he walks on top of water, which incidentally he can also turn into wine. That's the word on the street. Sounds pretty wild. So, should I sign you up? I think I'll explore my alternatives. Take your time. Doesn't take long before the Easter Bunny pops up. You got a health plan? Everlasting. Why do you search for the living among the dead? If you're excited about life right now, that's great. Because this morning we're going to look at living life. I mean, how many of you, more than anything else, really want to live? I mean, really enjoy living life? Then this morning's for you. To live life... first of all, turn to Luke chapter 24, because I got to look at this, because you got to get this. Luke chapter 24. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, there's probably one around. If not, you can listen. That's great. Luke chapter 24 in the Bible. Great passage of Scripture that, of course, we read today. Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to begin at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, probably around 6:30, maybe even earlier. The women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Great passage of Scripture. If you want to live life, you got to look for Jesus. You got to look for Jesus. I can't imagine how the followers of Jesus Christ felt after that Good Friday cross. The one whom they followed, whom they believed, whom they trusted, was tortured, was mutilated, and nailed to a cross, crucified. He died. And I'm certain that there were feelings of, we're defeated. I'm sure there were feelings of depression. I'm sure that they were discouraged. Not unlike us as we walk in life. There are moments where we feel defeated. There are times where we feel depressed. There are moments where we get discouraged. And so we read here in this passage, verse 5, in their fright, that means in their despair, in their depression, The women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? These ladies sensed the need to do what is most appropriate. I mean, they went early in the morning to anoint Jesus' body with spices. Now, some of us met this morning at 6:30 a.m. for our sunrise service. Oh. These ladies went early in the morning to anoint Jesus' body with spices. It would be similar to like laying down flowers today. The Jesus they had looked to was now the Jesus they go to anoint. They arrive to the tomb, and it's open. Open! And they go inside. They look in. And there's no Jesus. See, if you want to really live life, you need Jesus. And so two angels appear and they ask a question that we need to pay attention to this Easter day. Why do you look for the living among the dead? I want to encourage you today, out of everything else, get this on this Easter. Don't look for answers in wrong places. Don't look for life in dead things. For example, the Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, do not take advice from the ungodly. Do not sit where passers and scoffers and mourners sit. It's very important who's having input into your life. You don't want to be taking advice from somebody that's ungodly and expecting to get life out of it, because all you're going to do is you're just going to get death. It's not going to produce anything good in you. That's why these psychic hotlines, you know, you see these psychic hotlines, you pick up the phone and you call and they tell you all these things about you. That's dead stuff. It's not going to produce good things in your life. It's going to produce bad things in your life. Sooner or later, you've got to let go of the dead stuff and move on to the living things. Amen? So I love that statement, that question in the Easter resurrection story. Why do you look for the living among dead things? Why do you search for the living among the dead? We search so often into things that appear exciting and wonderful. We may even think that they will bring us unending happiness. But let me assure you, there will be something ending, and it will be your happiness if you're looking in the wrong places. Only looking to Jesus can you ever have, ever live, everlasting joy in your life. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. It doesn't mean there's not going to be moments of depression. It doesn't mean you're going to not be in despair. In fact, those things, we should almost welcome them to some extent, because then we know what it's like to have peace, to have contentment, to be strong and have joy. I'm going to tell you, you cannot live one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world. You can't partake of the things that are ungodly and also partake of the things of God. Now, I know why people do it, because they're desperate to know what's going to happen in their life. But if you put your life in God's hands, you're not going to worry about what is going to happen in your life. Don't you love that?
Yeah, I love it, Pastor.
Almost time for turkey. You got 20 minutes left. To live life, you got to look for Jesus. To live life, you also have to trust in Jesus. If you look at Luke 24, it says in verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on their third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. The women went to the tomb. They were searching for Jesus. I mean, and then they saw the open tomb, and I'm sure there was a moment of, what? Bewilderment. Have you ever done this? Man. Maybe you people can see it visually better on this side. I'm sure that there was people, it says they wandered. When the stone was rolled away, there's nothing like turbulence to teach us about trusting. There's nothing like despair, discouragement, depression for us to discover whom we trust in. There's nothing like it. The turbulence that takes place in our everyday life to say, oh, I trust in Jesus. And it can happen at any moment. At the spur of the moment, something can take place in your life which will shock you. You won't even know it. Just like this. Look at this video. I need the lights dimmed so they can really see it. It's great. Watch this. There is nothing like turbulence to teach us about trust. It made me hungry, actually. So I had my gallbladder a couple weeks ago, and I haven't had bacon since. I know you all feel sorry for me. And if you don't, you should. I feel great. I'm 100%. I'll tell you, everybody should have their gallbladder out. Yeah, you're applauding that everybody should have their gallbladder. I agree with you. There is nothing like turbulence, though, to teach us about trust. And I love these words in this passage. I love these words. Then they remembered. Then they remembered. After the bewilderment, after the despair, after the discouragement, while the depression was going on, they remembered. They didn't think of it till then. Interesting. Whenever we're in that moment of suffering is likely the moment where we start trusting better. In the aftermath of the worst devastation, God does his biggest miracles. The women were given the words, he's not here, he's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then the women remembered Christ's words to them. They remembered. Oh, they remembered. How many times does God remind you? Remember me. Remember me. When you hear the robins sing like we did this morning, remember me. When you see that beautiful flower appearing even through the cement or the rock on the side of a hill, remember me, Jesus says. We come to his table to remember him. Someone comes along at the right timing and the right time of day, just at the perfect moment when you need somebody to deliver flowers to you. They deliver them to you because Christ has not forgotten you. These women remember the words of Christ, and this is what the Bible is for us today. This book is for us to enjoy, to learn, trust, and guarantee if you start looking through this, your life will be different. Life will be different for you. I didn't say it'll be trouble-free, because that's not true. But it will give you a greater outlook on life, because you'll discover where you can only trust, and that's Jesus. The resurrection power of Christ is for every day of your life. The Easter event is not just for today, friends. We don't just come to celebrate today. The greatest miracle of all of history, past, present, and future, is for your everyday life. And you can live life that way. Christ overpowered death. He resurrected. You need to resurrect yourself. You know that song that we chose through the month, Come Awake? It says an awful lot about the resurrection power of Jesus. Trust God with whatever it is that is causing you to live a defeated life. Don't live that way anymore. Tell yourself you can do this. Start enjoying your life. Christ is not dead. He's alive. So this Easter morning is a morning of a new life for you. Trust in Jesus. Just as the women, we need to revisit the tomb where Jesus died. He was buried. He is not there because he is risen. And he is victorious over your life, over your hurt, over your pain. He's victorious over your past, over your marriage. He's victorious over your drinking problem. He's victorious over your sexual addiction, over your financial burden. He's victorious over your rejection, your ridicule, your abuse, your difficulty. Jesus is not a dead Lord. He is a risen, resurrected Savior. And today you can have the change of your life by stop looking at dead solutions and start trusting in Jesus, a risen Savior. Because that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. Amen? Can you say, Jesus Christ is not a dead Lord? Can you say, he is a risen, resurrected Savior? Can you say, I can trust in Jesus? Oh man, we could all go home right now and have a great day. Don't be so enthused. I have really good stories coming up. It was Barb who said, hey, wasn't it? No, I'm just kidding. To live life, you got to look to Jesus, but you also have to trust in Jesus. And you also have to speak of Jesus. I love this part. I love this part. Verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. They talked about it. They talked about Jesus. Got to tell you something. Something happens inside when you talk about Jesus. So much of our conversation is self-centered, but when your conversation is Jesus-centered, you can't help but feel something inside. Think about it for a moment. When you first understood that Jesus needed to enter your life, you just couldn't stop talking about it. I mean, it's like getting a new car from Man Motors. Like that, Murray? It's like getting a new car. I mean, how many of you have ever bought something new or new to you? You know, something that's kind of new to you? Anybody? A few of you. You poor other people. I bought one of those new light bulbs. They're blue. They're kind of, I forget what they're called. They're supposed to make things look real. That's what it says on the carton. I don't know. I guess the other ones, we look phony. I don't get it. But I couldn't wait to get home with this thing. I mean, here it is. This blue light bulb, and I unpackaged it like it was Christmas Day. I mean, and I replaced the old burnout bulb, and I'm calling everyone. I mean, I'm phoning neighbors. I want people to come and see this thing, this new technology. And I gather around my family. Come on, gather around this lamp. Go, watch, because really, this is going to be like real life. Serious, this is, the other ones are like phony. This one's real life, says right on here. See the carton? Says it right on here, real true life. You know, I it's right there. So I packaged this thing, I put the bulb in, and there's Joan and the kids, and my wife and kids, and I just wanted everyone to know about this new blue bulb that's supposed to bring out the true colors of things that it ignites. Those things that it enlivens. We all stood in the living room. I'm excited. Everybody ready? She got the camera. I mean, and I flicked that switch. And I'm certain, I know, in fact, everyone waited with bated breath. Because it was, and it came on. It was amazing. And I said, wow, what do you think? And my kids went, you're right, it is real. We're terrified, Dad. Who are you? You know, who are you? It is real. And then my wife said, you know, maybe it's better in the nighttime. But you know, I was excited. I was elated. That's how it is when something new enters our life. Even a light bulb. There are people here this morning whose marriages, whose relationships are alive and vital. There are people here this morning whose marriages are stagnant. There are people here this morning whose marriages are on the point of dying. There are some here whose marriages are already dead. Why is that? Let me bottom line it for you today. Whatever you put into something, that is what you get out of it. Whatever I put into something, that is what I'm going to get out of it. You were excited about that person you married when you first got married. I mean, you got goosebumps when you looked at them across the room. You know, it was the most awesome thing to just go for. Do you want to go for dinner? Oh, yeah, I want to go for dinner. Where do you want to go? Oh, I don't know. Where do you want to go? Oh, I don't care. I don't care. Where do you want to go? I don't care. I want to go where you go. Oh, I want to go where you go. You know? Can you hear this? Years down the road, it's, I ain't having dinner with you. I'm not sitting down at the same table with you. Do you hear it? Why? You look for living your life among the dead things that'll go nowhere. While I'm not getting what I need out of this relationship, how many friendships are dissolving because we're more concerned about what we want? It's just not the same anymore. Think about when you met your friend, you were thrilled. We have so much in common. And then it's, well, we don't have anything different to offer one another. We need to move on. We look so much to our own selfish things, and that's just dead, dead, dead. You were excited about church. First visit, you couldn't stop talking about it. Now you can't stop talking about it, but a different way.
Did you see what happened at church today? Did you see? The pastor showed that video. See that? Bacon made me hungry. Kept us 20 minutes after that.
Looking for the living among the dead. Dead are those things that are without the life of Christ in them. He is alive. Listen, the tomb of Jesus opened so that people could visually see that Jesus is all you need. Jesus Christ left the tomb before that boulder was ever rolled away. There wanted to be no doubt that Jesus is all you need. He is the living. He's not the dead, and you better believe it. He will give you the life that you need to live. Amen. Will you let him? Amen. How many of you will just let Christ resurrect your stagnant soul so that you will truly live life again? The power he gives is far greater than anything the world has to offer. He's far richer than a lottery. He's more abundant than a casino. He's more refreshing than alcohol. He gives a greater high than any drug you can buy. He's the best antidepressant tonic giver of life, the abundant life. That's Jesus. You can search everywhere for everything that you think you need in order to enjoy your life, but you will never find it until you reach that open tomb and see that Christ is indeed risen. Discover that power today. Discover the miracle of the open tomb. Trust in the risen Savior and speak of the things he calls you to speak about. That's Jesus. Remember. Remember the words. Remember him. We have not learned to do our part to keep things alive. We get passive, we get lazy, we stand by, we just watch things get stagnant, and we watch them die, 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 just like my gallbladder. We want something good to happen, but we are waiting for someone else to make it happen. Speak of Jesus. Talk about him. Your life will ooze life. And you will become alive. Alive, by the way, is always living in view of eternity. A-L-I-V-E. Always living in view of eternity. That's what we're called to do, to remember, so that we don't search for the living among dead things. Let's pray. Well, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm just going to ask you a question. Are you searching for life among dead things? I think this morning, more than ever, you need to come awake. As we began this service today, you watched that video, you heard the song, Come Awake, because he's alive. He's alive. And I think now, more than ever, we need to be awake, not sleeping, not lamenting in our own self-pity. I mean, there's moments of that. There's moments of depression. There's moments of suffering. There's moments of despair. There's moments of discouragement. You can hand that off today, but I can't guarantee you that it's going to disappear. But what I can guarantee you is that Jesus is risen. And he has stood on your depression, on your despair, on your discouragement, on the challenges you face. Jesus Christ is standing there, the risen Savior. You can trust him today like you never have before. Or you can just continue to go on with life, living it, looking for dead things, searching for dead things, wanting life as you live. If you're willing to say today, God, I got so caught up, I've been talking about things that I shouldn't even be talking about. I've been journeying down areas I shouldn't journey. God, I've been talking dead. It's time for me to remember to talk about life. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to give you the opportunity to declare before him. And remember, eyes are closed. You're welcome to just raise your hand. I'm not asking for me. I'm asking because I think that is maybe even a better way of declaring it before the Lord, that if I raise my hand, it further underlines what commitment you're making today. If you want to say, God, I just raised my hand today, and I'm saying that I'm not going to look anymore among dead things. I'm not going to talk about dead things anymore. I'm going to start talking about life and living with you. And you can just raise your hand, and that'll be a declaration that you're making to him, and you're pointing to him. And I'm not even looking. I've got my eyes closed. And you're welcome to do that before the Lord. Jesus, we can't even comprehend it. We can't even understand that morn the ladies went to the tomb and you weren't there and there was bewilderment. Prior to that, there was despair. God, they wandered. And you know, they wandered so much, and we wonder at times. We wonder, how are we going to get through this? How is our relationship going to be better? God, how are we going to be looked after financially? God, how can I ever see that friend again who betrayed me? And yet you understand. You understand. Jesus, we thank you for understanding us. We thank you that we can look to you in our moments of despair, but also in the moments of our joy. That we can talk about you at any moment. We can talk about the things that you have called us to remember. One is today, your resurrection. What a glorious day, God, that you've given us to celebrate. May we come awake. May we be your servants. May we continue to trust, find life in you. In Jesus Christ's name, who died and rose again and ever lives with you, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.